Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, welcome to the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game, and with me here on the phone, not to my left, we are rocking it remote today. I have with me Chris, and we are here as always with very special guest with me here today, the Queen of Extreme herself, Robin Vandenberg, coming aboard, another one of our friendly FAST members here with the TSTRN. Robin is on Wednesday nights, I believe it is. Oh, no, it's Tuesday nights. I'm on Wednesday nights now. But on Tuesday nights, Robin does what she does. Robin, welcome aboard the Student of the Game. Glad to have you this week as we talk up the NFL East.
Hey, how are you?
So, you know, when it came time, I knew that we were going to talk about the East. Knowing your Patriot fanhood, I knew that you would at least bring it strong. Well, not at least. You would bring it strong, not only for that team, and then knowing what I know about your skills from what I've done working with you on TSCRN, it was going to be a good time all together. Now, Chris, I don't want any trouble, you know, this whole Giant fanhood thing, you know, let's
hey, Giants beat them the last two times in the Super Bowl. I don't have any issues.
Okay, fair enough. I guess that's the best answer at the moment. And
Weasel, as far as I'm concerned, those games didn't exist, so I don't even know what he's talking about.
Just like 19-0 didn't exist.
Easy.
Oh.
Wasting no time. Well, hey, Weasel, I mean, before we get going, you know, I guess I should mention that, you know, everybody knows you're a Vikings fan and a Steelers fan because we make fun of you having two teams all the time. I don't think now is it's the time to whip out the second team fanhood, perhaps, since, you know, we've already got the floor underway here, man. But Weasel, let me go ahead and start off with you as we jump into the Redskins here. You know, everybody knows for a fact that the season pivots on RG3's return. Now, it's when I look through their what they lost, what they gave, they didn't really lose anybody meaningful. They did make some adjustments. They got Jeremy Trueblood at tackle to join the squad. You know, with me personally, I kind of dig that. Yeah, D'Angelo Hall is on his way out, but, you know, he was in season 9. And as far as corners are concerned, they're kind of reaching their age there. Walk me through a little bit about what you would what you see happening for the Redskins, Weasel.
Well, I see that they have re-signed Fred Davis, so that was good for him. I think in terms of the draft, I'd like to see them pick a corner. Now, they brought in Antoine Winfield, who was a former Vikings cornerback, and they brought him in, but I still haven't heard anything what happened with that. So it would be a big pickup for the Redskins. So I'd say cornerback and maybe get him another wide receiver.
Yeah, pretty solid stuff. Chris, let me take it to you. You know, I know that your Giant fanhood, you would rather not see the Redskins progress, but it looks like that they take, you know, assuming, of course, that RG3 returns as he's supposed to, it looks like they're taking a step in the right direction. I'm looking through this roster, and really they're not looking ridiculously thin in any position. What do you think?
No, just as Weasel mentioned, just, you know, maybe a cornerback, you know, with D'Angelo Hall, you know, gone. Also, Madu Williams was on the team last year. He's gone as well. But other than that, their priority was to re-sign Fred Davis, even though it is for 1 year. But, I mean, he was their offense there until he got injured, you know, with that season-ending injury there at the beginning. I mean, like, midway through the season. But, you know, with RG3, with his, you know, injury, with him coming back, I mean, they still got a capable backup with Cousins there. So, looking pretty decent, you know, with the draft corner and also, say, maybe another linebacker because they're kind of a little thin there. I know they got a Rock Pro back from his injury too, but they're kind of getting a little old there as well on the linebacker's standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some age there, but I mean, you know, if your thinnest point is your linebackers, I mean, you know, of course, personally, you know, we've talked about it for years. I don't really think they should have gotten rid of LeRon Landry, but I mean, you know, I'm with Weasel that the DBs are probably where they're hurting the most. Robin, let me jump to you. If RG3 is unable to start the season, do you think that the Skins would still be, you know, a playoff threat?
No, because I think RG3 actually brought something that the Redskins have needed for a very, very long time. And that was, he brought leadership and he brought excitement back to the Redskins. And I also love the fact that he is supposedly doing much better than expected. He's pulling what I would call a Wes Welker. I like to say that to your Giants fan. And that is when somebody is a great athlete, that when they get hurt, that they're able to overcome it a lot, you know, a lot faster than expected. So I think what RG3 is going to do is he's going to come back. Things are going to be exciting again. But I think one thing they need to, you know, Shanahan seems to be forgetting about is a little bit of his offensive line. And is he going to address it at all? You know, are they going to have any, you know, interior blockers? You know, are they going to try and look for, you know, maybe in the later rounds of the draft?
Let me ask this question. Do you feel like it was the O-line that led to getting RG3 beaten up?
That's a tough question because, I mean, it's a tough question because it's you can't really dissect an injury and say, okay, it's this player's fault or it was this play or is this lost tackle and it was this missed opportunity. You know, it happened and it happened. However, if he had, you know, maybe, I mean, he did go ahead and, I don't know, he went ahead and he's keeping things as they are right now, but they're saying that they may have Tom Compton come back and have a fair shot at the camp, so he may be at the right side next season. Who knows, that may be a difference. You know, I don't know. I just think that the Redskins fans should be praying and praying hard that all of these rumors about RG3 are actually true and that he is going to come back. And, you know, I think he makes a huge difference for the Redskins. I actually enjoy watching him, and I'm not really a Redskins fan, but watching him play, I enjoy it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's an acrobatic circus. And, I mean, you know, there were elements of times where, I mean, I know it was the Monday night game against the Giants where, you know, being completely neutral watching that game, there were a couple of things that just happened to bounce the right way because the energy motivation that you got just from RG3's presence, the uptick, if you will, in the positive energy that was going on just on that sideline or in the locker room or wherever you want to have it, you know, they were able to take opportunities that may not have been legitimate opportunities before. I mean, let's call it what it is. Before, the Redskins didn't matter, and it's really just that simple. No offense, of course, to a fellow BTR podcaster Quinn Jordan, should he happen to be listening. I mean, you know, I do a show with him Monday nights during the season after mine, so you know, I ain't trying to get him mad or nothing. But let me go ahead and post a question. How many weeks can RG3 or 4 to miss at the beginning of the season, and the Redskins still make the playoffs? Chris, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at their schedule to go, but the way the NFC East has been lately, I'd say 4 games.
Weasel.
Hey, Kirk Cousins is a decent backup. He played last mm-hmm. year in a couple of games, and he was actually pretty effective, so I think about 3-4 games.
And they still have Alfred running the ball.
And they do. They certainly still have Alfred Morris. I was about to say that myself when it got back to me. Robin.
I would definitely have to say 4. Definitely. You can't go any more than that these days, to be honest with you. I mean, you could possibly do 5, but you would have to be, I mean, literally almost winning every single game after that, you know? So I would have to go between 4 and 5.
Me, I'm going to go ahead and push the button for 6 for this reason. The rest of the division is really in a lot more shambles for the rest of their roster than the Skins are. And Kirk Cousins, now I'll grant, it was just against the Browns. You know, let's not go completely ape. But as long as that running core continues to do what they did with, you know, Helu and Alfred Morris in the backfield attacking the way they did, and let's remember all the injuries they suffered. Fred Davis was out early. Weasel, you mentioned his re-signing. That's a huge deal that really just got swept under the rug because we only saw him for the first part of the season. Really, there's only a few tight ends that were more effective than he was at that point in the season. And
so
I don't know.
Go ahead. Are you saying Are you saying, Kyle, that the fact that Tony Romo has got his big paycheck, that's not going to make the Cowboys, jump up into first place in the NFC East?
We'll touch on that soon enough, Ms. Ross. But anyways, let's go ahead and jump to another dumpster fire that's probably just as big as, if not bigger than, Romo's contract. And, of course, I refer to the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, you know, they got rid of Rogers Cromartie. Whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing has yet to really be seen. But they picked up Connor Barwin, Patrick Chun, Kenny Phillips, Isaac Sopawaga, Kerry Williams, all guys to bolster the defense. And while it may have been once true that the Eagles' defense was the biggest problem, I don't know, the jury's still kind of out of that. Robin, I'll start with you on this one. Is the defense really the biggest problem going into the season for the Eagles?
Oh, gosh. Wow. I think so. I think, you know why? Because they're going to – I hear they signed Patrick Chung. And being a Patriots fan, that guy is made of glass. I'm telling you, you get a hangnail and that guy's out. So, they've got some people in there that, you know, and I don't know. Didn't they miss out on Jake Long? Did that happen?
No, Jake Long did not happen for the Eagles.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, so I think their defense is in trouble, you know, once again, and I think they're in restructure mode.
Okay, yeah, well, I mean, the defense certainly was a concern, but then again, all of it was a concern last year for the Eagles. Chris, let me jump to you. As far as the Eagles' biggest concern, man, what do you got?
Yeah, I believe they had talent on defense. It just wasn't utilized correctly, you know, with the players they brought in. But really, they're overhauling their whole secondary right now. I mean, you're looking at Ndamukong Asamoah is gone also with Rogers Cromartie. Those were the two starting corners last year. So they're bringing in, you know, Kerry Williams from Baltimore. You know,
they still got a contract.
No, Asante's in Atlanta. He was in Atlanta.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they were doing a complete overhaul of their secondary, which got burnt every play. They didn't know what they were doing. I even said it when they signed Asamoah to begin with, that he was overrated coming from the AFC West. I didn't think he was that good, you know.
Well, you know, when you face Phillip Rivers twice a season, that means you're an awesome corner, right, Chris? Anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And who are the other quarterbacks? Who were the other quarterbacks over there in AFC West he was facing too?
Oh, that one guy, the USC guy.
Castle,
oh, right, Carson Palmer.
Yeah. So.
You know, by the way, the third highest paid quarterback in terms of salary cap during the 2012 season. That was money well spent as well, eh? Weasel, take us to it. Eagles, what do you got?
Eagles, with the cornerback position, I definitely think they need someone. With the they did pick up Kenny Phillips, which is a good safety. And so I think the defense wasn't all their problems, but they may need another weapon what's the quarterback for Eagles again?
Mike Vick.
It's not.
Yeah.
Vick.
Okay. Oh, because I was thinking of Foley, the backup.
Nick Foles.
So it's either Vick or Nick. That's where we're at right now.
Offensive line of Chip Kelly coming in there with that, you know, with that speed with Vic, and, you know, maybe they'll utilize LeSean McCoy. That's what they haven't done in the last couple of years. And that's what we've been saying, that I was saying, good thing as a Giants fan that they don't utilize them.
Well,
I hear that, like, for the draft, I mean, they are looking at for offensive linebacker Deion Jordan from Oregon. So, I mean, if that happens, that could help quite a bit.
But the linebacker core, I mean, okay, so they have D'Amico Ryans already, which, you know, means they have precisely one linebacker on defense. And with Connor Barwin coming in, I mean, this is his opportunity to test whether he's actually any good or he was just awesome because he was lining up next to J.J. Sowat. So, you know, that'll be interesting. If you have at least two good linebackers on the field, that can make yourself an amazing defense. especially if you have a defensive end. Please see the Bears' defense in Urlacher and Briggs and Julius Peppers for the past few years. Now, the part about it that I feel like is getting missed, and you can call it fat man bias if you want, is I don't care if Chip Kelly gets all of the fastest quarterbacks in the league in his backfield. The complete and total lack of protection is pathetic. Vic did great in 2011 and then bad in 2012. But with the departure of John Runyon and Jason Peters, completely swept under the rug as if it didn't happen. Vic good 2011, Vic sucks 2012. Look, I know he went to jail and everything back in the day, and he's been under a lot of pressure trying to repair his image. But, you know, something changed there, and really that's what I'm pointing to, at least on the field. And I'll tell you what, if the Eagles don't take an opportunity to get some of the high-quality beef being shipped through this draft, they're doing something wrong. That's just exactly where I'm at for the moment. I mean, you know, the Eagles did win some closer games. I know they beat the Giants on the strength of one mistake in a game that was essentially played perfect for the first 3.5 quarters until Eli threw an interception in the end zone. I believe it was to Rogers Cromartie. But it was the one thing Rogers Cromartie did all season, if depending entirely on who you ask, of course. But I don't know. With the Eagles, I'll put it this way. I'm not paying any attention until they pick up some linemen. And, you know, that's where I'm going to leave it for the moment with that. Let's go ahead and jump into the New York Giants. Chris, lead us off with this one, man. There's a lot of departures here. And I'll tell you, Chase Blackburn doesn't really make me worried. I'm not even worried too much about the fact that Umanyiro is leaving or that Ahmad Bradshaw is leaving. But, man, the whole thing with Martellus Bennett going and Chris Canty going, I don't know. I mean, are those were two pretty big pieces, right?
Yeah, those are definitely two big. I mean, with Chris Canty leaving, they did pick up Colin Jenkins, you know, from the Eagles to kind of fill that spot, kind of same kind of player there. You know, losing Kenny Phillips, he was hurt a little bit last year, and they had another safety step on Strong, Stevie Brown. So that's not really too big of a loss back there in the secondary. They did re-sign Aaron Ross, a corner, that, you know, with all their injuries they've been having the last couple of years there, too. Now he's coming back from the Jags.
You know, I have to take a moment here because, I mean, we are on Football Reporters Online now, and about this time, well, a few months later, right before the opening day last year, on Wednesday, I mentioned something about the fact that the Giants will miss Aaron Ross. And Dr. Bill, as much as I love him, said, well, I don't know, Kyle, they smelled a bit of burnt toast when it came to Aaron Ross, and yet, lo and behold, he's coming back onto the roster this year. I guess they liked him more than you thought? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. At any rate. So, Chris, keep going, man.
Yeah, but, I mean, the biggest hit, I feel, you know, on the offense was the Martellus Bennett. He was coming on strong there at the end of the year. They did pick up Brandon Myers from the Raiders, who's you know, he was actually their leading receiver throughout most of the games last year because, you know, the offensive line was pretty horrible, and it is Carson Palmer. But you know, they lost Chase Blackburn, but they kinda brought in Dan Connor, so that kinda washed each other away there. Kind of the same type of linebacker there. Other than that, you know, maybe just solidify a little more of the offensive line. And Umanyiro is gone, but, you know, they still have Justin Tuck and JPP.
Absolutely. Robin, let me jump to you here. If you were to see the Giants in the Super Bowl again, who are you happiest to see not be on the opposite side of the field?
Eli Manning.
No, I still think he's going to attend, of course. You know, you never know how that's going to turn out throughout the season. But
I know. Well, I mean, they still have things up in the air as far as, like, is Victor Cruz going to sign or is he not? He has up until, what, April 19th? Hakeem Nicks has until how long? Are they going to take Hakeem Nicks or no? So that's another thing. And they're saying that they've been really quiet, and they're saying that, you know, part of the Giants is they could be winning in all of this because they may be using a lot of their stuff for, you know, the draft, which kind of scares me a little being a Patriots fan. So I don't know what they might do with all of that. So, yeah, I'm sorry, but Eli Manning is one of our biggest obstacles. We can beat the brother. We just can't beat Eli. But, you know, like I said, I kind of found it funny that who is it that took the salary cut? Because it wasn't Eli that took the salary cut for Victor Cruz, was it? Was it Eli? Because I thought it was somebody else.
I think it was Eli and...
Well, yeah, Eli's hit last year was $20 million in itself, so it would make sense if he clipped a little off for a bigger salary cap hit. You know, thanks for stepping in there, Weasel, for sure. But we're about to jump to you anyway, man. So let me ask you this. Robin pointed out a lot of good points about a lot of offensive players who are in flux. Do you feel let's put it this way. Victor Cruz going this long pretty much tells me that we're going to have, like, you know, the receiver version of Drew Brees, you know, here, where he's going to wait until the last possible minute to sign for, you know, the best possible deal he can get, in my opinion. Do you feel like, you know, let's say that they lose Hicks or whatever, and all that's going, do you feel like that they have enough in the cupboard to proceed nonetheless?
I think so. I think they got Hakeem next. And Cruz, so they're pretty good to two starters. So the only thing I think is they do need a tight end, because Martellus Bennett was, you know, he did a really good job last year.
So you're not buying into Brandon Myers' acquisition? You don't think he's going to fill the gap?
Could be, but I mean, we'll see. We all have to see about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hey, I can't blame you for doubting it, because it's the same thing we just said about Rogers Cromartie. Who has he been playing throughout six games of the year? Oh, yeah, it's the AFC West. So, you know, you got a decent point there. I can see where you're going, Weasel. Chris, what you got?
Did you get Bear Pasco back from injury as well? He was that other second tight end. He's been on the team the last couple of years. But it was a cornerback that took the pay cut so they could sign. Who was it? I got it right here. Where'd it go? Corey Webster took a pay cut, and David Boss restructured his contract so they can sign Will Beatty and return him. But Hakeem Nicks still has one more year under contract, and Victor Cruz is a restricted free agent, so they got a chance to match any offer still. On that.
I mean, that's important stuff in negotiation, for sure. But, I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, they still have Ramsey's Barden and Reuben Randall. Really, if Nicks is going to cause a problem, I say ship him.
I think Nicks is starting.
One thing that they do have enough in the cupboard. What do you got, Chris?
Yeah, Nicks still has one more year in their contract. So, I mean, that's not a big – they're just trying to restructure so they don't only go into it next year. An issue. They're trying to restructure it now. He has one more year. Nicks. Just Cruz's contract's up right now, but he's a restricted free agent.
Oh no. Yeah, I got that. But like I said, you know, if there's some sort of a situation where, you know, they can't get him to restructure, you know, and they have to ship him because it's not, you know, the business of it isn't working out, you know, I don't think they'd be hurt. I mean, heck, we saw a dude get moved because his agent didn't get the damn paperwork in on time in the form of one Elvis Dumervil. So stranger things have happened, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm trying to tell you. But, you know.
And staged.
What do you got, Robin?
Do you think that may have been staged?
That's an interesting question. Because the agent got fired, I'll say no. But if Dumervil had retained his agent, I could see where you're going with that.
But he didn't go back.
Yeah, no, he didn't. I don't know. Guys, what do you got? What's your take on that?
I thought it was staged.
So, Chris, you thought it was staged. Weasel, what about you?
I guess if you wanted to leave the Broncos, I would say
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. I haven't really thought about it too deep until right then, but stranger things have happened. I'll put it that way. I mean, this being the time of deception in the NFL, what with the draft and all the free agent dealings that go on, you certainly can't rule it out as a conspiracy theory completely, that's for certain. But speaking of conspiracies, I think Romo and Flacco got together on one, because as we move into the Cowboys, the first thing I got to touch on is the contract. Robin, I'll let you open up. Go right ahead.
Dear Lord, I mean, really? Joe Flacco wins one freaking Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, he is like the God's gift of quarterbacks? Give me a freaking break. I even have to give New York Giants Eli Manning more credit than that. I'm so disgusted with all of this. It's unbelievable. And then for Tony Romo, the biggest clutch since Danny White? Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me? This guy is worth nothing. The only thing this guy can do is bring bimbos up on top of the, you know, on top of the, where is it? Up on the boxes, you know, with the GMs, you know.
Oh, the press box.
That's all he's worth. He's worth nothing. He can't even get the guys to the playoffs and get, and, I mean, he's worthless. He's absolutely worthless. I do not know what he has on Jerry Jones, but it's big. It's really big, because this was absolutely mind-boggling to me.
Weasel, let me float this to you, brother. I personally think that this contract doesn't happen without Flacco signing what he signed first. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. The good old Super Bowl was the thing that spurned it, but wait, one more time?
Well, okay, so Tony Romo has a new contract. It's $108 million for 6 years. It's ridiculous for his worth. But Flacco at least had the Super Bowl. I get all that. But Flacco's contract being $120 million and extremely overvalued for a quarterback that's not even in the top 10, I feel like that set a precedent for what Romo got in his $108 million. Do you think that theory makes sense? Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, and next up is Aaron Rodgers. So he has Romo and Flacco to thank, because he's going to get paid like $25 million a season or something. So,
excellent point.
It's because of this dumb contract.
Can we be honest here for a second? Joe Flacco only played one good half of a Super Bowl. Let's be honest here. He only played one good half. Colin Kaepernick played the other half. So for him to be paid that much money is ridiculous, in my opinion, to be honest with you.
Interesting. Great. Chris, Kaepernick playing better than Romo, or excuse me, Flacco in the Super Bowl. I can't comment because if I do, I'm a homer. What do you think? Chris? Hello? Okay, I think... Yeah, Chris is Eric. Okay, he's coming back in on the switchboard now. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and move along a little bit. Now that we've threatened to break Tony Romo's pretty face with our talk of his contract, the Cowboys also lost some defensive players. We talked about Dan Connor earlier. And Marcus Spears, the defensive end, kind of a big deal. He goes to the Ravens. So actually the Ravens did manage to actually obtain a defensive player among, you know, the many they lost off of their roster. But
they also got Doomerville, too. So
they also got Doomerville, too. Right. Okay. So, hey, you know. Well, I mean,
that's two out of the 15 they lost on defense.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if we're getting into it, I believe they picked up Chris Canty as well. So, I mean, basically that line's looking great for the Ravens. We touched on this a little bit, you know, in the other show. But the line looks great. The rest of the team, not so much on defense. But let me get back to the Cowboys. You know, I put on here on my sheet as a quarterback even still. I mean, yeah, I know that they signed Romo to the contract. But should Romo go down, there's no backup really in place either. And I think that's part of why he got the money that he did. I mean, let me ask you guys, I'll put it this way. I'll go around the crew. Put your GM hat on. Robin, you're stuck with Romo at this point. Jerry Jones has done this favor for you to lead you with this mediocre quarterback, and you're stuck with him for 6 years. What do you do now at this point to try to bolster some sort of a playoff competitive team?
I'm telling you, he's going to have to really go full-blown out when it comes to either making sure – well, first of all, they're going to do well in the – they're going to have to do well in the draft. And they've got to give this guy somebody to throw to. But at the same time, they also have to give him an O-line that's going to give him time. But, you know, they're deep. Oh, gosh, they're such a mess. I think just because I used to watch Aikman play in, with the Cowboys, and it used to be flawless. If I'm a GM, first of all, I wouldn't have signed him. Second, you have to find a wide receiver that has chemistry with Romo. You've got to do, and I'm sorry to sound like a homer, but I'm going to do it. What Bill Belichick has done with Aaron Hernandez is he said to him, look, I don't know what you're doing this winter and this spring, but you're moving to California, and you and Tom Brady are going to work out, and you're going to work out a lot, okay? And he also sent Danny Amendola up there this week, and they're going to work out, and they're going to work out a lot because they need to have that chemistry. I don't think Tony Romo has enough chemistry within, you know, his receiving units to be able to get those big plays. You know what I mean? So he needs to find that chemistry. And I think that's what's losing it. And I don't think he has the leadership at all. I'm not sure if he has the respect from his teammates.
Well, you know, and that's a real tough assignment, I'll tell you what. Hey, go over and catch some passes from Tom Brady by day and by night. Go and party with him. And, you know, being Tom Brady's wingman out in California. Whew, I'll tell you, I would quit that job. Not.
That's Gronk. Gronk goes off and parties.
Yeah, hey, okay, because, you know, being Gronk's wingman is a bad fate. I'm just saying. Anyways, well, you know, we took the Patriot segue. Let's go ahead and keep with it. We made it through the NFC. Let's go ahead and jump into the AFC, and we'll start with the Patriots. Rob and I will hand you the baton first once again here on this one. I mean, I don't want to be the one to say it, but we know there's a particular move that had you hitting up the valley in there pretty hard. And, you know, first of all, those who hated on Welker for making the move, let me be clear, you're wrong. And, I mean, I believe you heard me ranting on this the Saturday after it happened. Does anybody
right.
who thinks that Welker was wrong in seeking another deal after what happened just hasn't been paying any attention? Rob, I'll go ahead and let you take it from there.
He basically had no choice. He knew Bill Belichick did not like him. I mean, that was very, very obvious. He benched him, you know, for the first few games of the season. Then it was very, very telling towards the, you know, when it all was said and done and Tom Brady, you know, let it hang out there after the deal was done that he was not happy. That's not typical Tom Brady. If a source goes out there and says, Tom Brady's pissed, Tom will come out and say, I didn't say that, but no, he let it stay there. And then Robert Kraft comes out and says, well, I don't do what Tom Brady tells me to do. So that sort of, you know, let us know what was really happening. So Wes Welker had every right to do what he had to do. Do I blame him? No. The one thing that I do think they did that was 100% wrong was getting rid of Danny Woodhead. That was probably one of their biggest mistakes. Reason being, Ridley is great. However, Ridley tends to fumble a little bit. So he needs to learn how to hold on to that damn ball. Vereen is okay. He's showing promise, and he could be very well. However, Danny Woodhead was somebody that was clutch. Danny Woodhead the Chargers are so damn lucky they have absolutely no idea what they have in this kid. And if it's 3-6, he will do whatever he takes and drag five guys with him to make sure he gets, you know, that 6 yards. Not to mention touchdowns when needed. So I think the Chargers won on that one. The Patriots lost. What the Patriots need is not an offense. We need a secondary. Our secondary sucks more than anything in the world. The fact that we signed Kyle Arrington makes me want to vomit. The guy is probably one of the worst ever in the secondary I've ever seen in my life. We did get rid of McCourty. Thank you, Jesus. However, I swear to God, I can't stand that guy. But I don't see them doing anything in the secondary that's making me happy right now. I know all the Patriots fans are saying, but Robin, they look like they were getting better. You know what? Bill Belichick was a defensive coordinator. Our defense should be kick ass, and they suck. they suck really bad. So I'm not buying the, you know, Bill Belichick is God crap. I'm not buying it. We need a secondary. We need it bad, and we need it now. And I expect to get it in the draft. And if we don't, well, then once again, I'm not going to look at Bill Belichick as God, as I haven't in a very long time anyway.
Well, let's be clear about one thing, and I think my guys will back me up on this. I've really seen more hints that he's Satan than he's God, but that's a different topic for a different time. you know, I'm forced to point out, you know, they did acquire Adrian Wilson, and they did manage to retain Aqib Talib. I mean, that's certainly a promising sign, is it not?
Well, yeah, Tavon Wilson, very good, showed. I was really surprised with Tavon Wilson. I really like Tavon Wilson. And I think that he's going to be somebody that's going to fit right in. Aqib Talib, you know, it's a one-year deal. I'm hoping, you know, and he was showing very good signs of promise. But like I said, these are signs of promise. I do not want any of my secondary to be an Ocho Cinco experiment. You know what I mean? I mean, we already went there, and it didn't work, you know? We did that with Brandon Lloyd. Brandon Lloyd didn't work. That was an experiment. It didn't work. So I don't want him playing with my team for his experiment, you know? And we also have a problem with Denard. Denard's a really great player. Unfortunately, you know, the guy has a sentencing coming up in April for hitting a cop. So we don't know if he's even going to be available to play. So that's another problem that we have going on.
Yeah, no, that's certainly worth mentioning. Chris, let me jump to you, and, you know, I go to you because, you know, when it comes to matters of strength and brawn being an issue for a team, you normally see what I see, and I want to see if you lock up with me on this one. Well, I personally, you know, like, we were talking about Adrian Wilson getting in there. We were talking about Aqib Talib getting in there. I still think they need a lot of work up front. You think I'm right?
Yeah, the linebacker, I mean, they got Brandon Spikes, and, you know, they still have, you know, the guy's own zip called Wolfork.
That's Wolfork, absolutely.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not too keen on their defense much. You know, the linebackers and secondary are pretty bad besides, you know.
They're the worst. You can say it. They are the worst.
Right. I mean, Dunta Hightower I thought was a steal. I like that pick that it picked up last year.
Hightower gave me hope. And Ninkovich did pretty good as well. However,
right.
You know, the rest of, and like I said, you know, Kyle, you mentioned Tavon Wilson. He shows a lot of promise. But like I said, you know, when it comes to Aqib Talib, I don't want him to be an experiment. I want him to be a valid player.
Well, let's put it this way. With Ocho Cinco, you're looking at that all wrong. With the Dolphins, he was in jail by the start of the season. So it could be argued that comparatively, that experiment was an event. I'm just throwing that out.
Hey, with Talib's track record, he might be there too, so...
That's what I'm so sick and tired of. I am so tired of us being the rehab unit of the NFL. I think that's part of my problem.
Yeah, the Raiders are calling up and they're pissed that you're taking their title. That's pretty much what's happening right now. Weasel, let me jump to you, brother, to make sure that you get a chance to put a bow on this one, man. When it comes to the Patriots, if you are Bill Belichick, where do you go to draft?
Oh, Kyle! Kyle!
Well, I think they do need to address their secondary. It was a good getting back Aqib Talib, but I think their secondary definitely needs some work. And, oh, I said earlier about the guy who took a lower amount for his contract, I got Eli Manning and Tom Brady confused. Tom Brady was the one that did take a pay cut and worked
the
lock, which is wide receiver. So,
well, and let's be a little Tom bit careful with that. I'm sorry, Lisa, go ahead, brother. What'd you say?
No, it was just it's okay.
Tom Brady didn't take a pay cut. He's making still the same amount of money over his contract. They just renegotiated, so it was less this year, and it's more at the end. He's still making the same amount of money that he was beforehand. It's just make less this year.
Right.
However, he did
under
false pretenses. He did under false pretenses thinking, because he was told that Wes Welker was going to be signed.
Right, and then they signed Amendola, exactly what Wes Welker was looking for.
And Amendola, who knows if he's even going to be able to play. Granted, they say he's all great and wonderful. However, you know, how long he gets injured.
Well, when you're getting the ball thrown to you that Braswell was throwing to him with some of the dives and adjustments and hurls for his very life to even get in the same zip code as the ball, I have a feeling that Brady will be a vast improvement that will prevent him from getting injured. Just because, look, as much as I make fun of him being wimpy and pretty, dude throws a ball where it needs to, where it's supposed to go, not just where it needs to go. And so
and
I think
pretty.
That alone, well, I'll leave that to you, Ms. Robin. But you know, as far as all that is, I think the fact that he won't have to make all these acrobatic leaps. I mean, hell, the thing that probably broke his collarbone and it almost jammed into his heart. It missed by about an inch and some sort of a freak occurrence that doesn't, you know, normally when you pop your collarbone, it goes out and not in. But because he had the corner landing on top of him and he hit the ground all at the same time diving for this particular pass from Bradford, you know, that didn't lead to that situation. I think the fact that he'll be able to keep his feet, maybe catch some things in stride, lo and behold, I know it's a wild idea, but, you know, I feel like Brady will keep him going here.
I agree.
Lesser chance to get injured, so, you know. At any rate, so now that we talked about a team that, well, gets a lot of praise and hype, let's talk to one that does not. The Bills are next on our list right now, and I got to tell you, you are already in trouble when you cut your starting quarterback and people really just either don't care or they consider it an improvement. Weasel, let me start with you. I'm going to talk about the move that really makes the most sense, since the quarterback is said to be the most important player on the field for any team. Fitzpatrick's gone. They brought Kolb in. Is that an improvement?
I'd say it's an improvement. It's going to be tough because Kolb didn't get to get a full season. I mean, he was hurt. So the Fitzpatrick, I think they know it, and they know what they can get out of Fitzpatrick. He's been there for, what, 6 years or so, 5 years?
He's been there for a while,
So they know what they're going to get out of him. And he, you know, didn't produce towards the end. So it'll be a new thing for them, and we'll see if it works. But I don't think it'll be that good for him.
I mean, heck, just an open question to the panel. Has he made it through an entire season yet? I don't think so.
No. I don't think he has.
I don't know. Chris, what do you have for the Bills?
Yeah, they're going to be right where they are, middle of the pack of the division. Like they were like towards the lower end, not like really middle, but towards the lower end, still out of it. Fitzpatrick, you know, Cobb's going to have the same kind of success that he has there. All you have is Stevie Johnson on the offense catching the balls. I mean, you do have Fred Jackson and what's his name?
Well, David Nelson's there too, and then Scott Chandler at tight end. That's a pretty
David Nelson. David Nelson's not there right now. They got Scott Chandler. But you know, he's gonna have the same success. Their offensive line's not all that great. They lost George Wilson, and they're starting safety. He's over
right.
in Tennessee now. So I don't think it's gonna make that much of a difference if it's Fitzpatrick or Kolb.
Robin, what do you have?
I'm actually going to enjoy the fact that the Bills Mafia, their fans, really, really love to beat up on everybody, and I think that's anybody that is not a Bills player. I mean, that's not a Bills fan. I think this is going to be the one time where it's going to be between the Bills and the Jets as to who is the worst. To be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, I really do, because they really have probably one of the worst rosters, if not one of the worst five of all. You know, I'm talking every division.
Wow. So let me ask you this question. Let me go pop quiz, and the answer will be a number. 1, 2, 3, first, second, third, or fourth. Weasel, I'll start with you. If the Bills played in the AFC West, they would be what place? Weasel.
I'd say 2.
Wow. Chris.
What?
AFC West, I'd say 3 still. Same position they are in over here.
Robin?
I would say 3.
I, too, would say 3. But, you know, I think Weasel's not completely off his rocker with saying second. All they have to do is get past the Chiefs. All they have to do is get past the Raiders. That's easy enough. And then if Phillip Rivers continues to decline, I don't know.
I don't know, but the San Diego Chargers are making some moves. The San Diego Chargers are making some moves. So, you know, you never know what they can come up with this year.
Oh, Miss Robinson, here's the thing. You're not aware of my stance on Phillip Rivers, and you too have fallen for the deception or the fraud put forth by Phillip the Fraud Rivers. That's all I'm going to say about that.
No, I'm just one of those people. It doesn't matter where Danny Woodhead plays. I think they're going to be awesome because I am. I know it's such a girl thing to say, and I admit it. I admit it to the whole radio world. But it really has nothing to do with me thinking Danny Woodhead is hot in any way, shape, or form. The guy's like, what, all 4'6". He's like 4'6".
And looks like a 15-year-old.
I know, he looks like a hobbit. So, I mean, there's no romanticism at all here. I just think that this kid is, you know, he brings a sense of work ethic that may help, you know, that may actually help the other players of the Chargers and say, well, if this guy is going to work his ass off, maybe we ought to as well. You know what I mean? The coach may see that and say, look, if he can freaking do it at all, 4'6", and should be, you know, a member of the cast of Lord of the Rings, you all can do it too.
Well, let me put it this way. And gentlemen, I think you guys will agree with me that Robin is proving her true fanhood to Danny Woodhead, because anyone willing to pay that much attention to the Chargers just because Danny Woodhead is there, I'll tell you, if that's not devotion, I don't know what is. That's all I'm going to say about it. At any rate, okay, so, wow, how did we get to the Chargers? Anyways, let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and get my matches out. Let's light the dumpster fire. It's time to talk about the Jets. Chris, let me start with you. How do we get any hope out of this crew?
You get nothing out of this. This is awful. This is worse than the Bills. I'm sorry. They're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They can't even make a roster move because they're so far underneath the cap. They're just hoping to try to get something out of Revis so they can try to save some money. But, you know, it'll even make the team worse. Even with Revis on one leg back there in the secondary, is better than they probably have anywhere else. I mean, they lost Jeremiah Bell. They lost LaRon Landry. Yeah, there's the two starting safeties from last year. They overhauled their whole linebacker crew.
How many more quarterbacks do you think they're going to bring on?
The problem is they still got the one that they don't need.
That's what I'm saying. I think Rex Ryan really likes quarterbacks. I think, you know, there's toes and quarterbacks. I think that's what he likes.
They say that the player on the field with the best footwork is the quarterback, and Rex Ryan is the coach. I don't think this is the coincidence, folks.
And notice, all of these quarterbacks are quite pretty. Just saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I got nothing for that. Weasel, drag this out of the gutter, brother. What do we got?
Wait, where are we at now?
We're talking about the Jets and if there's any darn hope.
No. that's all a bunch of into it. No, they have no
hope
at all.
What do you know, Weasel?
They just they lost also Dustin Keller. And
right.
So I just think they need to get rid of Tebow. And Sanchez, this is the season where, you know, he's got to put his crap together. So.
You know, here's what I don't get is look, and you're right, Weasel, they gutted a larger portion of the roster. You know, Sean Green out, Dustin Keller out, Bart Scott out, LaRon Landry gone, Calvin Pace gone, Eric Smith gone, and the only pickups they have are Willie Colon, which is a good move. I don't know. I mean, I think we talked about it in the last show, Weasel, about that being a big deal for the Steelers, parting with him, and then Mike Goodson of the Raiders. Well, yeah, that's some... No, that's a stellar move right there. I'll tell you what. I don't know, man. I'll put it this way. All the moves they made to move their roster around, all the moves they made in their front office, and they kept Rex Ryan. Look, I kind of like Rex Ryan as a coach. I'll call it what it is, but why would you keep him if you cleaned everything else? I don't know.
But they have to. In all honesty, Kyle, don't you think they needed to?
Can't we get rid of Rex Ryan?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. They got everybody else.
They needed to.
It doesn't make sense.
See, you got to look at the light at the end of the tunnel for the Jets. They're going to leave him one more year here, you know, so they can guarantee that they can finish last, and then they can try to pick up another pretty quarterback in Johnny Football.
they're already going for the first round draft pick for the next year. You know, that's honestly the most sound theory I've heard yet, Chris. I got to give you that much credit, brother.
But seriously,
that poor kid.
You know, at least they'll have a decent offensive line, you know, there. That's about it. You can build around them.
Oh, that poor kid. I would not wish your Jets on that kid.
Wow. All right, so we got about 9 minutes left here. Let's go ahead and jump to the Dolphins. Now, Robin, since you currently reside in South Florida there, what seems to be the buzz about the logo change? I'm just curious.
The logo change. Well, considering that the Marlins did their wonderful logo change and what happened after that, Miami's not too keen on it.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, and also, you know, they want to, you know, update their stadium, and they're asking for more money and all of this wonderful stuff. At first, the Dolphins fans were quite happy with things that were happening, but then as they started to dig a little bit deeper, they're starting to get a little like, I don't know. They love the Mike Wallace deal. They love that. They're very upset about Jake Long. Extreme.
Right.
The fans are really ticked off about that one, especially considering, you know, Long was up there for 4 days. He was up in St. Louis for 4 days and came back empty. So, you know, they were really hoping for that. You know, the thing is, you know, Tannehill could actually be a really good quarterback if given the right wide receiver. Now, Reggie Bush is gone. So, you know, there they go. There goes that. But we all knew Reggie Bush was probably going to leave anyway. The thing is can Tannehill throw that bomb to where Wallace can catch it? Because nobody has actually seen that yet, because he hasn't had anybody to throw to.
There you go.
So there's a little bit of questioning right now as to, was it right for them to spend all of that money, you know, on Wallace? So right now, Dolphins fans are kind of in, I'm not going to say buyer's remorse as of yet. I think they're just sort of starting to think, wow, we're all excited, and now they're kind of like, well, wait a minute, let's really look at what happened here. So I think they're really going to wait until the draft happens to see how this all turns out.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Weasel, let me go to you next. A lot of Dolphins fans are already talking that they are a playoff threat. And should the Patriots come out with a little bit of, faltering on occasion? I mean, you know, they were 1-3 against the NFC West, for example. If the Dolphins improve from last year, that they're actually some sort of an AFC wild card or threat even for the division, possibly. What say you?
Well, I think they could possibly do it. Their defense is respectable. And they got Mike Wallace, and about him, he's a deep threat, and what helps is that Tannehill does have a strong arm. So that is going to work towards him. But picking up Dustin Keller, and I think they can you know, entertain the playoffs. I think they could possibly do it.
I like how you put that. They could entertain the playoffs. I think that's a decent way to put it. You know, it's not far-fetched. I mean, let's call it what it was. I had them at 3-13 when we did the preview episode last year in September. And the fact that they won, I think it was
seven games.
They won that many was amazing. What'd you say?
Yeah, seven games.
Seven games? So, yeah, yes. The fact that they did that was ridiculously overachieving as I saw it. And I'll tell you, in any other year, I could argue that Tannehill probably would have been the rookie of the year, but then, you know, I mean, this is like that movie that's really good, but happened to come out the same year as, like, you know, Shawshank or something like that won the Academy Award. You know, this guy's like, man, I wanted to throw, you know. Anyways, Chris, the Dolphins, what do you think, man?
Yeah, they could be a contender. It depends what they do in the draft. They're picking 12th mm-hmm. overall. So in 12th, if they can get Monty Ball, the running back out of Wisconsin there, to fill that Reggie Bush hole, if he's still available, I'd say they should go after him because I feel he's the best running back in the draft. If he's already gone, for some reason, they need to use it for another offensive tackle because, you know, they don't have anyone protecting the blind side there with, you know, Jake Long's departure. Other than
right.
they made the changes on defense. You know, they brought in Brent Grimes. They just signed him up the last couple days. That's good for their corner, you know, solidify their secondary. They also brought in Danelle Ellerby, who's coming on strong for the Ravens there at the end, as linebacker. So with that, I'd say they need a good maybe one more offensive lineman, you know, but departure Jake Long or even Monty Ball, I'd say.
See, here's my thing. On defense, they're pretty decent at a lot of spots. But their offense is not explosive yet, and they're still missing pieces. I think they're still too middle of the road on both sides of the ball to really make that jump. But then again, it's the AFC. 9 wins will get you into the playoffs, as the past
exactly.
has shown us. So, you know,
and,
you don't really know on that. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, I was going to say, all they need is 2 more wins, and they get the extra one. They won't split with the Jets this year like they have been the last who knows how many years because they'll sweep the Jets this year.
And this time they mean it.
I don't think anybody should count them out, to be completely honest with you. I know when they played the Patriots, it's always a close game unless it's at Foxborough and then we kill them. But down here in Miami, they're tough. I mean, their defense is very, very tough. And I think that this is going to be one of those years that could make or break them as far as showing us what they could be in possibly another, you know, a year from now. And I truly believe that they are going to be somebody to contend with. I really do. I think the Dolphins fans have something to be really, really excited about. And I'm just hoping and praying because this is such a transient town that people actually come to watch them play. That's the sad part, is that people really don't come to watch them play.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't mean to call out all of South Florida's fans, but there is an element of bandwagonism there, you know, be it the Marlins. Oh, look, they're going to the World Series. We'll watch it. No, we don't care. Of course, the product
well,
is back
no,
now.
Well,
no,
Kyle, you can't say that because they have the Marlins have a huge Hispanic following. The problem with the Marlins is Jeffrey Loria. Jeffrey Loria literally raped Miami-Dade. And raped the fans. So right now they're selling tickets on Groupon. I mean, that's how bad it is. So, you know,
yeah.
I feel bad for the Marlins fans, to be completely honest with you.
So
the Heat fans that are the bandwagon fans.
Yeah,
Heat fans are bandwagon.
Yeah, I was just about to go there too. And I'll say this much. You know, today is opening day for baseball, and it's also April Fool's Day. Coincidence? I think not. Robin, we got about 2 minutes left. Go ahead, drop your Twitter and drop all the information that you want to throw out for your promotional consideration.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter. And guys, if you laugh, I swear to God, it's what would TB12 do on Twitter. And
well, you laugh. How can they be wrong?
I love that. I love it. But TB12 do. And I have a show on the Sports Chronicle Radio Network on Tuesday nights between 10 and 11. And then on Wednesdays, I'm with Sports Rents Radio from 8 to 9:30. And then on Saturdays from 10 to 12.
So she keeps pretty busy, folks. You know, it's that simple. Now, we got about 60 seconds left. We'll do it once around just on the way out here. You can always change your answer in this part of the year. It's not a lock until September. So for right now, the AFC East is won by who? Robin, start with you.
Ooh. I have to go with my Pats.
I can't blame you. Weasel?
Patriots, definitely.
Chris?
Yeah, Patriots.
Nobody's rolling the dice yet. I shall not either. I, too, have the Pats. I really feel like the Dolphins need to – if the Dolphins fill that hole in the O-line, I'll feel better about it. If they get that running back, I'll feel better about it. If they get a little bit stronger up front, because I'll tell you, we mentioned it earlier, there's prime quality choice beef in this draft, and it's not just on the offensive side. It's on the defensive side as well. And if they bolster their ranks there, they'll be all set. We got got about 10 seconds left, so we'll just go ahead and finish it up here. Thank you very much, Robin, and thank you very much, audience, for listening. Class dismissed.
Thank you. Bye-bye.